For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now. The Score!
I feel like I look around and you just got a ton of good players everywhere. Whether that's offense, defense, special teams. I mean, you know, you look at like, I mean, our punt, I'm amazed by our punter, watching our punter punt every day. It's like he has a 9-iron and a 6-iron in the bag at any time he wants it. It's pretty crazy. But no, I just think there's a lot of depth everywhere. And I think that was evident in the preseason games with how we did and, you know, us going 4-0 in those games and, you know, being pretty dominant in most of those wins. I think that there's a lot of depth throughout the roster. And, you know, I'm sure the roster cuts the other day or today and the other day weren't too easy on Ryan, but that just means that, you know, he put together a pretty deep roster, and you know, I like what I see all around.
Cole Kmet. And I like the stuff that Cole Kmet said about if his targets drop, he's cool with that because he wants to be around winning. That's a man who loves football and loves his team and blah, 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 and all that. But good stuff.
Cole's got a good podcast, too. It's called 85.
Smart guy.
He's got over 10,000 subscribers to the YouTube page.
He's going
to
be a broadcaster.
Hooked up with the CHGO guys, and they put it together.
He's going to be a broadcaster.
It's a way to get ahead.
He is that. He is absolutely, if you were looking at all of the marking points of somebody at this stage of their career who clearly cares about how he sounds in the air and clearly, and you know, Byard is another guy too.
Yeah, I think he'd be really good.
Who might be real good.
And when you see the money that if you catch lightning in a bottle, if you're Travis Kelce, why are you still playing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think it's because of that guy who's his quarterback.
But you guys have kind of done all the things. You've won the Super Bowls. You got three, right? Three Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
You're dating Taylor Swift, and your podcast just sold for $100 million.
On top of you already being filthy rich.
Yeah. When are they getting married, by the way?
Look at you. Why don't you get out their business? Maybe they don't want to get married. Maybe they like their relationship the way that it is.
Well, it hasn't even been a year yet, right?
Look at you being a yenta.
It's, you know, people, I'm sure they want grandkids.
Wow.
They're not getting any younger.
Wow. You went from get married to get married and have multiple children on them in 10 seconds.
They've got, look, his parents are alive. Her parents are alive. They want to enjoy their grandkids at some point. Get on with it.
All right, Travis Kelce's 34. He's my age. Yeah. All right, it's fine to keep dating for a little while. Yeah, it's okay.
That's a little late to start. You know, you're not doing necessarily.
Taylor's also 34. It's fine.
I know. Nobody's getting any younger. Get on with it already.
You don't want to rush into these things. You know?
They're not rushing it in. They're 34.
They haven't been dating a year yet, Dan.
Yeah, it was.
Let them live on their own timeline.
What was it? That was week three, right? Week three.
It was Bears Chiefs because Jarrett Payton. So they were dating a little bit before that. But that's when Jarrett Payton broke the news for the whole world to see. There was rumors about it before then. Mm-hmm.
Dan just goes, look at those two whites. They need to procreate.
But I'm selling great replacement theory.
We need to get those genes moving.
We got to get those two attractive tall whites together.
Must breed more whites. Prevent great replacement. Otherwise, the Jews and the Browns will replace us. Our precious bodily fluids will be destroyed.
Got to get them together. Put him in a lab.
I don't know, but he's been vaccinated, so it's already ruined. They're already, it's already, yeah. You know.
She now, has too, right?
Yeah, so. If they've been vaccinated, now they're just going to create more lizard people. So that's the last thing you need is more lizard people. You don't want the vaccine, because then if the vaccinated people procreate, then you get the multiplicative effect of two lizard people.
You say all this, and it's wild that Aaron Rodgers was up in the Packers quarterback room talking about, up in the locker room, talking to players about this stuff. Like, that's absolutely insane.
Yes. I said it was insane then. That's right. Because, the vaccinated people procreating are going to produce the whole race of lizard people. And you know, you just want the pure unvaccinated whites.
The pure bloodlines.
Of course.
Yes. You have to have it. And then that'll create a quarterback of some sort.
Well, it will. And then once all of the pure non-vaccinated lizard whites or non-lizard whites get together, the hierarchy of their greatness is only decided through arm wrestling.
I had to get on the line. I had to pick up the phone about Bajan. He's the real deal. This is coming from a pure bloodline. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to get a stud in this kid, and I think he's the real deal.
Okay, so pure. That means not a lizard person.
Yep.
Got it. Good.
Stay out their business.
Ryan Poles,
people live.
Ryan Poles discussed the effect of Caleb Williams' personality on the entire team.
It's fairly natural. It's not forced. I think that's one thing. And we've all been in teams before. But, like, there's people that come into those situations and they try too hard. And it's like, man, that's awkward. You know, it's hard to buy into that. And then there's guys that just they can navigate that so naturally because they're authentic and it's real, and that's what he's done. And then on top of that, just as a professional player, like, you have to perform, you got to do some things that guys are like, okay, like there's something different about you. And then pair that with a good natural, just good social skills, some cool things happen and leadership starts to blossom, and that's what you see now.
What do you expect from him this year?
I expect him to, it's a great question. I want him to lean on the talent around him. And then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him, that's when you do the special. And balancing that. And then sometimes it's going to get out of whack one way or the other, but always come back to that. It's kind of like that neutral place where he's at his best. And I think he has that just from studying him and watching years of tape on him. He has that ability. And so I think that's kind of the big thing, is just lean on the guys around him, be instinctual, let those wild plays happen at the right time. I mean, we saw it in the preseason a little bit. This can be important.
Ryan, I'm pretty sure we've seen you on the field kind of mimicking Caleb's throwing motion.
You never seen that.
I don't know what else you could have possibly been doing with that.
Yeah.
Was it fun for you? Was it a fun training camp for you to see this guy that you had scouted for so long and drafted and then brought here and then watching it in person?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. But I don't know. I can't ever let my mind go too far down that road. It's always about improving. But it's good to see. Anytime you draft a player because of what you saw from college and you see some of those things transfer over to the pro game, that gets you excited. If it's the other way, it scares the crap out of you. You know, it's like, where did that guy go? And we haven't had that with really any of our draft picks. Everybody has been as advertised or if not better.
Did you try to grow Caleb into a quarterback who can be a game-winning quarterback with the game on the line? From your lens, what separates the best quarterbacks in this league in terms of the ones that are consistently productive in the fourth quarter?
I think it's really, I kind of say it's like their heartbeat. Like, does their heartbeat skyrocket in those pressure situations, or do you see this like calm? And we're not going to know until we're in it in terms of the pro side of it. But that's what I look for. I want the game to slow down, there to be a level of poise. And again, I'll go back to, it's that same combination of taking what a defense gives you, leaning on your talent, and then when you're forced to be special.
What did you experience with Patrick through that lens in terms of when you realized that he was that guy in Kansas City and in terms of what it did for the entire organization?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I know there's a lot of comparisons out there, but I don't I don't know what Patrick's rookie year would have looked like, but I know in year two, you saw exactly that when the pressure went up, he was calm, and then when it was time to do something special, he was able to do it and connect. But I also think, you know, we probably don't talk about it enough, he really gave opportunities for special players to be special, and I think that's what took it over the edge.
It's clear to me that Ryan Poles has a more informed but same opinion that I have.
Which is?
I really hope this guy's awesome.
He seems awesome.
I know, but he knows more than I do. He knows more than I do, but because he picked him and he did everything to put them in this position, but it's all a way of saying, yeah, like we're doing everything right to make sure that this guy can be what we hope. You know, it's like in the Matrix, right? With all the quays.
I know Kung Fu.
No, is he the one? Is he the one? It's one, you know, it's one of the oldest stories in literature. This idea of a savior and at little bits along the way, little things like he is the one. Are you the one who's come?
And still there are people
prophesied
who don't believe. Like I love yes. that scene in what they should have just called Matrix Revelations, because that's what it was. But where you have Trinity, not Trinity, Jada's character say, I thought you didn't believe in the one. She's like, I don't believe in the one. I believe in him. So there's still like people, you know, my dad like did a whole section on the Matrix.
Really?
Yeah. Like he did a whole thing with Morpheus as John the Baptist and
oh, that's pretty cool.
You
sure.
see a lot of parallels there.
Yeah, well, definitely. Definitely. Of course. The whole thing is a Christ allegory.
Like I was surprised because, you know, he's not, I'm sci-fi, he's not sci-fi, but he's like, this isn't sci-fi. This is the Bible. So he was teaching his students, like they did, I think, a whole semester on the Matrix. And so, you know, these high school kids.
I want to take that class. Can I take that class?
My dad was an excellent teacher.
Look at how an award-winning
teacher.
What? I've noticed this. A lot of young people don't know what it means, the idiom about blank pilled.
Oh, blue pilled, red pilled.
Red pilled, blue pilled. Even with, you know, Kamala Harris, they were saying coconut pilled. And people don't understand that blank pilled comes from the Matrix. And I have had to explain that.
Yeah. And that whole movie that the Wachowskis put together, it was so revolutionary. Like you take the Jesus allegory, but it was so revolutionary in the style of it and the way it looked, the way that it sounded, the music that it used in it, the technology that they used. And it was really, I didn't see this, the reboot.
Okay.
It's fine.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
I don't want to make this into a production meeting.
Sure.
But if we can, there's a lot we can do with this.
With Caleb? As the one?
As the one.
That feels a little afternoon showy.
Like QB1?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want we can have the party if you want.
No. You're missing what I'm saying.
So you're saying that,
I mean, from a literary sort of cinematic perspective, there's a lot of references for it, a lot of things to use to where how the evolution of the belief of a larger populace that someone truly is heaven sent. The difference is the Bible of the Bears is the opposite. That's the thing. We're not promised the one. We're promised misery. Like all we know, like there has never been there's never been this, oh, we deserve this or we're entitled to this, or some legend saying just wait.
Coming. He's on his way.
He's coming. He's coming. He will be here. He'll redeem us all. Like, it's never been that way. As a Bears fan, it's like, well, we suck. We're not supposed to have one. We don't deserve one. It's our fault.
Well,
it's our fault.
Honestly.
It's the original sin of being born Bears fan.
It's our fault.
Well, Wanstead and I were talking earlier this week, and he was saying, like, look, he had brought up a meme, which is weird that Dave even knows what a meme is, but he had brought up the meme of Bears fans always seeing the one. Like, no matter who it is, like, oh, here's Mitch Trubisky. He's the one. Here's Justin Fields. He's the one. And here's Jay Cutler. He's the one. And it never turns out to be that. I will say, though, if you want to talk about, like, looking for the one in an amalgam, Caleb has got, like, all of that, like, stuff. Where you're going, like, when you say, okay, here's the 2.0. Here's the 3.0. Here's the 4.0 of it. Caleb seems to have all of those things that you look at the other quarterbacks, at least from a physical standpoint, and go, well, give me a quarterback who's got a really strong arm and a quick release. And go, okay, we can do that. All right.
Now give me this and now that, but this person needs this. And now
Now give me the vision. All right. The only thing he doesn't have is the size, because he's even got the mobility. And you go, all right, now let's put a souped up generated computer in his brain. And you kind of got that too.
And make him nice.
Yeah. And then you look at the Jay Cutler model and go, everything seems really good about this model.
Except he's a bag.
Plug that model in for a second. Don't care. All right, we need to get that out of the subsequent models. Can we take that part out?
Change the code.
Take that part out.
And we forgot that part. Okay, all right, let's re-edit.
And then you have Caleb, and hopefully he is the one. Hopefully he's not Hamlet.
The Bears.
Apparently Grody lobbied him to start saying.
We'll hear about that next hour.
Okay.
We'll hear about that.
Okay. Because I could not stop laughing when I said Grody is such a loon.
He's great.
He is such a major loon. We didn't get to the rest of the Ryan Poll.
That's okay. You have time tomorrow.
That's true. Because Layla's going to be in. You're off to make a nice long 4-day weekend.
Yeah,
for you.
Be on my couch, putting ice on my face.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Layla texted me yesterday. And she goes, I have the greatest High Noon story of all time.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about High Noon today.
And I was like, yes? And she said, I'm not telling you. She said, it's going to be your favorite High Noon story of all time. And then she
never disappoints.
No, and now she's gone dark. So I've been trying to say, I said, I'm intrigued. Tell me more. And she's like, no. No, I'm not. Okay, fine. Download the Odyssey app, search for 670 The Score, and tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with David Haw and Dan Weider. We're breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of the new season. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your
Charge
podcast. Charge is next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Church.
With
Church.
Bernstein and Church. Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's talk some fantasy football with Paul Charchian. It makes it feel football-y. It makes things feel autumnal. Paul Charchian, director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com, at Paul Charchian on Twitter. With us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline, download the Circus Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Never let it be said that you haven't had a direct effect on people we know and love. We're told that our associate producer, Adam Studzinski, has dropped his family fantasy.
You'll remember last week I was urging people to bail on bad leagues and go find better ones, and he's doing it. I love that move. Well, life's too short to be in bad fantasy football leagues.
And as I was telling you, Charge, before the hit here, I decided that I realized that if I don't send the email about the league, I never hear about it. And so unless I hear about it in the next 4 days, it's not happening this year. That's so if any of my family's listening, you got 4 days to let me know.
If they don't care enough that this thing's just going to dissolve unless they send an email, then just hang it up. Even if they do send the email, I wouldn't do it.
No, yeah. The problem is I don't know what to do with the trophy for the league now, because it is like a semi like meaningful trophy to the family. So we got to figure out something to do with that.
Ah, melt it down. Go sell it.
I agree.
That baby.
Charge, what are you telling people about Jamar Chase?
Really interesting guy. We love that he's going to catch passes. We love that he's dynamic and can score long touchdowns. But here's the thing I do not like about him in particular. When they get near the stripe, it's all David Montgomery time. And at the end of the day, if there's one unifying principle across all fantasy leagues, we love touchdowns. What's not to like about touchdowns? We want touchdowns.
Charge, I said Jamar Chase.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We do love touchdowns, though.
We do love touchdowns.
But what would you say is someone who's either considering drafting or Jamar Chase or has already drafted Jamar Chase?
Jamar Chase is, at the end of the day, these guys almost always sign. Now, this one looks, it's starting to get a little wobbly now. We're 1 week out from at the start of the season. 1 week from today, we're going to be breaking down Ravens and Chiefs, right? So the pressure is on right now. I have very little long-term worry. My worry now is, like, week one, week two, what ends up happening even if he signs quickly, does Chase have a diminished role in the first couple of weeks of the season? Which in most formats is not the end of the world. If you take, if he causes you to lose a game in week one or a game in week two, not that big a deal. Guillotine League, that might get you chopped. Your season might end right there. So I mostly not concerned because the guys never seem to hold out, but hey, can we talk about the holdout that I am really worried about that nobody's talking about?
I'll tell you what nobody's talking about. Go ahead, Church.
It's San Francisco, but it's not Ayuk.
Oh, it's Trent Williams. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, here we are, arguably the best tackle in football, holding out Pro Football Focus's number two ranked run blocking lineman. And you remember, Trent Williams is a principled man. He held out that whole year in Washington when they misdiagnosed his cancer. And he was like, do not trust this operation. I'm not playing for you. And he's richer now. He can hold out even easier. Here's how bad this offensive line is without Trent Williams. I'm going to play a game with you two.
Okay.
Daniel Lawrence, I'm going to give you five names. I want you to tell me if these five guys are San Francisco's starting offensive line, or are these five guys in the San Francisco emo band Platypus Scourge. Here they are. Jalen Moore, Aaron Banks, Jake Brendel, Dominic Pooney, and Colton McKivitz.
I will say Jalen Moore as a Jalen is more likely to be an athlete than a member of Platypus Scourge.
What was the third name you named?
Colton McKivitz.
I'm going to say that he's in the band.
In the band. All right, so we're 1-1. The correct answer is that's your San Francisco starting offensive line right now. Those guys.
And wait, the twist is also members of Platypus Scourge.
Answer both. Now, Christian McCaffrey is going first overall pick in 95% of drafts. This is the best reason I can give you to not take Christian McCaffrey, who's been a league winner in the last 2 years. But this is a real worry that not enough people are talking about right now. And wow, when Trent Williams missed some games and plays last year, we saw the efficiency of this offense go way down. This is something that needs to be talked about more. And if you're going to pivot from Christian McCaffrey, I would go to CeeDee Lamb, because the entire Dallas offense is going to run through that guy's hands this year.
Whew. That is wow. So what are you, Christian McCaffrey obviously going number one. What's your rule on running backs overall this year?
See, I wait on running backs. You know, I feel like you can get better running backs in the mid rounds than you can wide receivers. And here's the thing. Running backs have got the enormous variance that happens with them. They get the injuries, they get the short lifespan where all of a sudden, you know, you were really good, and then 1 year, the next year, you're suddenly really bad. Dalvin Cook is a recent example of that. If you don't take a running back in the first four rounds, which I usually don't, you can still net guys like this, volume backs like Arizona's James Conner or Las Vegas's Zamir White or Houston's Joe Mixon or New York's Devin Singletary, or receiving backs like Washington's Austin Eckler, or goal line backs like Detroit's David Montgomery or LA's Gus Edwards or Miami's Raheem Mostert. You can get guys in rounds 5, 6, 7, 8 at running back that are like starters, that are on the field all the time, that play significant roles. Harder to find receiver help there in the mid rounds. So we slough those positions. We look for our running backs in the mid rounds.
So how do you figure out tight ends now? I know we discussed this before about the overall state of tight ends in the league and figuring out usage rates on some of these guys. Yeah. And I don't mean there's a particular statistic. I mean just small u, small r. What's a good rule of thumb this year for how long you can wait?
This year's really different. And so one of the things, great fantasy owners are very flexible year to year and even week to week. This is the deepest tight end year we've had in, I don't know, maybe a decade, because of the emergence of so many good young tight ends last year. Sam Laporta, Trey Burton, Dalton Kincaid, Jake Ferguson. And we've got the presumed emergence of Kyle Pitts in Atlanta, where we think Kirk Cousins will finally unlock that lottery pick equity that they put into him. He's not being dragged down by Desmond Ridder anymore. By the way, Desmond Ridder, not even in the league right now. And he was your starting quarterback for the Falcons last year.
Not good.
And then, of course, there's Travis Kelce, Evan Ingram, Mark Andrews, George Kittle. I mean, there's nine tight ends right there that you can go to war with. This list has been half that big in previous years. So I've been a big proponent of prioritizing tight end. This is the year where you can wait a little bit longer if you want to.
Is there any changes that were made coaching staff-wise where you go, hey, this offense could, like, for example, the Eagles offense with Kellen Moore, do you say, that might make me change the way I view how this offense and its players can work?
Well, this is a team nobody cares about, I guess, except me. Carolina is going to be one of the most improved offenses in the NFL. Dave Canales is a master at resurrecting offenses. He did it last year in Tampa. Nope. At this time last year, Tampa was totally off radar. Nobody cared about that team at all. Everybody thought Baker Mayfield was washed. The year before that, Dave Canales turned around Geno Smith and the Seahawks. And the situation that Bryce Young found himself in last year in Carolina was completely diseased. He had no help on his offensive line. He had no running game. The receivers were, it was Adam Thielen and nobody. And now I love the coaching staff. They improved the offensive line. They added Deontay Johnson. That is a team where you can point at a coaching situation and say, that offense is going to get a lot better. And just because people don't care about it in August because they were bad last year doesn't mean that they're going to be bad this year. That is going to be a much improved offense.
All right. Now, so give me a math strategy as far as those who are trying to optimize a roster. Do you, when your pick comes up, is this a year where the highest value player you just take? Or do you say, I want to make sure that I'm getting the correct value at this pick, and maybe it means trade down, et cetera?
Well, here's how most people draft, Dan. They're on the clock, and the site that they're on, and maybe it's your phone, they look at the next few players who typically get taken here. They're, you know, they're ranked by the order in which they're taken on average. And they look through five or six guys and go, oh, I like that guy the most, and pick him. But I'm the guy scrolling down the list to find the players I want, even if they might be available next round. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. And it's because at 10 days from now, when our first Sunday comes, nobody's going to remember
the draft
ordered, right? Nobody cares. All you care about is whether or not you have a good team that you like. But nobody does it this way, or most do not. Go get your guys. Fantasy football's supposed to be fun. Draft your favorite players. Don't be a slave to the average draft position. And if that means you got to take a few extra scrolls to get the guys that you want on your team, just go do it. Draft your favorite players and go have fun.
See, let me broaden that question then. If somebody says, it's one thing to win the league or lose the league and all that. If someone says, look, I'm going to draft players that I like and I enjoy rooting for. And is that a reasonable draft strategy just to say, I'm going to have a better time than the rest of you over the next half year?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, look, winning is fun. We all want to win. Most of us do not in fantasy football. Your league is 12 people in a regular league. One person's going to win it. Guillotine league, it's up to 18. One person's going to win it. Why not make that process through the year be really fun with players that you love? I love Ramondre Stevenson, stuck in probably the worst offense in the NFL with the Patriots, but I'm drafting him in most of my leagues anyway, because I just think he's a great player. I just want him on my team, and I'll take him around early just to make sure that I get him as one example.
I want an entire team of Keon Coleman, I think. That's what I want. I want every player on my team to be Keon Coleman, and then my team's just cooler than yours.
Well, Keon Coleman is pretty cool, and Buffalo's got 317 vacated targets from last year. Mm-hmm. That kid could hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dan and Lawrence, I have a great story that illustrates just how passionate fantasy players are.
Or crazy, depending
on
your...
Well, I've seen the picture, so I hope everybody's okay. Yes.
All right. Yes. And if we could throw up the picture for those following on Twitch, that would be great. I get this text from a friend of mine yesterday. He says, I was helping my dad clean up trees from the storm on Monday, and a 1,000-pound tree fell on me, and I thought it crushed every bone in my body. My parents miraculously lifted it off, and I was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance, not knowing what had even happened to me. After they gave me fentanyl, I realized I was on the clock in our guillotine league, so I made my pick in the ambulance. I ended up fracturing 5 ribs, broken collarbone, and a punctured lung. But all is good because I made my pick in our guillotine league.
Did he say who the pick was?
He did. Donta Foreman. That's the Browns running back. This was late in our draft. Now, he ended up getting cut yesterday. And so it looked bad, but they just re-signed him this morning. And
I think so there you go.
There you go. Man. So, you know, maybe good things are going to happen to my friend Zach.
Well, hopefully Zach gets better. That would be great. And I am rooting for Zach's fantasy league team to win.
It reminds me of the story of then Cubs general manager Jim Hendry, who made a trade while suffering a heart attack.
Jeez, it was in the middle of the heart attack.
Yeah, like he was hospitalized. He had been, I think, stabilized, but was still not out of the woods and completed the Ted Lilly deal, I want to say.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did it end up being a good trade or was his health condition?
Yeah, he started a playoff game for him.
Oh, that's hardcore right
there. That's a good one. Charge, where do you go on, how do you feel about setting the draft order by act or athletic feat, and what's your feeling on punishment for finishing last in the league?
I like the punishments if you have fun with it. I'll tell you my favorite punishment that I know of, and the one that will really be a motivator. And the reason to have the last place punishment is so that teams that are bad still fight to be good, because nobody wants to be dead last. Here's my favorite one by a mile. Loser must go to an open mic night and cold read jokes written by the rest of the league.
I love that.
Oh, yep. Yes.
You got to open envelopes. You get 11 envelopes from the 11 other owners. You have to open them and cold read the jokes on open mic night.
There's a lot of trust in there to make sure you're not getting a guy canceled, right?
You know? Yeah, it's what Michael Che and Colin Jost do. And yes, it's hilarious. It
is, which is brilliant. How great that those bits are. It's that's the best bit on Saturday Night Live for me.
I agree.
The Christmas trading of jokes.
And it's because like those guys like clearly love each other. Like
you can tell.
You can totally tell, and that they're having fun with each other, and they're not afraid to push boundaries and each other's buttons.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. The last year's bit with the civil rights activist.
Hilarious.
Was,
hilarious.
Cried.
Like what is something
so funny.
There's no reason. Like I need this to be able to sit through my wife's little art films.
That's right. Top-notch stuff.
God bless Scarlett
Johansson. Texters are correcting me. It was a free agent signing, not a trade, and it was indeed Jim Hendry acquiring Ted Lilly, but it was a free agent signing. Sorry.
Do you remember the two baseball players a couple of years ago that got in a fist fight at first base because of a fantasy
Tommy
football like, trade gone wrong?
Karate man, bleed on the inside.
That's Karate Man, that's Tommy Pham. Yeah, he's
there you go. Yes.
Tommy Pham. There's always, if you hear anything about a Major League Baseball player being in some sort of incident, there's a good chance it's Tommy Pham.
So wait, Charles, do you even know the Tommy Pham stories?
Not only that one. Are there others? Is he?
He gets stabbed a lot.
Well, he does. But what? I mean, I mean specifically with him in fantasy football.
Just this one.
Yeah, he slaps people if they don't pay up and stuff. And
well, you should. If you don't pay up, you deserve to get slapped. I'm on his side on this. That's fantastic. But
people say it. He does it.
He does it. He actually does it to Major League Baseball players.
That's
specifically Jock Peterson.
If you don't, you're a Major League Baseball player. The entry fee is like $200. Just pay it. Who cares? Who cares?
Charge, great as always. We always look forward to it, man.
My pleasure. It's lots of fun every week. Thanks, guys.
That is Paul Charchian. And next up,
how does that feel like football, Dan?
Ah, yeah.
Like we're like, wait, the rest of the regulars come back next week, right?
And it is going to be in a blink. You're going to blink your eye. Mark my words here. Remember I said this.
So like Anthony Heron and
just
Adam
Hogue.
No,
we're not want to reveal our whole that's a reveal show.
And Feeney Flynn
and Karen Foreman
and Turd Ferguson.
Absolutely. But just remember this. When we blink our eyes and Charge is saying fantasy football playoffs start this week, and you say, oh my God, fantasy football playoffs start this week. Just remember where we are right now on August 29th. Is it August 29th?
Well, what would hope that you would know since you're telling everyone to remember?
I know, but my watch is often wrong. It's an analog.
Here we go with your watch.
It's an analog watch, and sometimes it
was month. Look at my watch.
Look at my watch. But month to month, the date doesn't catch
the
up.
The Chuck and then Daly of Sports Talk host.
With that watch, I could retire.
Yeah.
You kidding?
I mean, with your watch, people could retire.
Hell no. Not well.
I mean, you know, you take a couple months off.
That's not retiring.
For some people.
All right. I'm going to do the story I wanted to do yesterday. The Pacific is, at the moment, upsetting the Atlantic on the scoreboard.
Oh, I have another great tale of big man losing weight.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
It is indeed time for High Noon. We celebrated the Cubs' rollicking improbable win yesterday and then did the math. And we noted that six back in the loss column. And really kind of seven, because you don't have the tiebreaker. For the Cubs to usurp that position from Atlanta, if Atlanta goes 17-12, which would be right along with the way they've played so far this year, the Cubs would have to go 23-5 in their remaining games. Not impossible, but it's a Herculean task awaits.
And they got to clear everybody.
As exciting as
that was. They've lost all the tiebreakers.
Yes, they've lost all the tiebreakers, and they've left this for themselves, and if they can do it, awesome. We updated you on the Bears roster. We talked about the tantalizing possibilities that PCA
is putting out there for you as a Cubs fan right now. We heard a little bit from Ryan Poles. We talked about Caleb Williams and the Matrix and whether or not he is indeed the one. And I should mention, too, that we're going to be giving away two pairs of tickets to our Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern show in Wrigleyville.
Chicken
strips. Pizza. We're going to be hanging out with Justin Steele on September 17th, brought to you by Bosch Power Tools and Phillips Chevrolet.
So you guys are going to talk fishing.
A little bit, yeah. Think so?
Dan, a lot.
Well, he and I don't generally do the same kind of fishing.
You talk a lot of fishing on your own, and I'm going to give you someone to talk fishing. Like our whole segment with Alex Shapiro.
He may not want to.
Was about fishing and not football. Shout out to Alex Shapiro. I always love when guys who played offensive line specifically are done with football and they start losing weight. You know, Jason Kelce has been talking about this. People wouldn't recognize Olin if they saw him, you know, because he's in such good shape right now. He eats so well, and he's always working out. This isn't an offensive lineman, but this is a giant man. Dave Bautista, who plays Drax.
Oh, yeah.
He was also a wrestler, and he's a huge man. He's talked about, like, going up and down in the weight category, and he feels like he's finally in a good place.
Looking lean and mean.
I'm getting super trim. This is probably the lightest I've been since I was 19 years old.
What was the biggest you were at like Deacon Bautista, Leviathan? What was the absolute biggest?
The heaviest I've ever been was 370 pounds. When I started Deacon, I was about 325 pounds.
Man.
And throughout most of my wrestling career, I was about 290 pounds.
What are you now?
Now I'm about 240 pounds.
Wow. Well done.
And I went just a year and a half ago for a knock at the cabin. I went up to 315 pounds.
What do you want to
get? And that's when the nightmare started. Like getting that weight off has been a challenge.
Yeah. But you guys eat a lot of fun food, I'm sure.
Yeah. But now I'm pretty, really particular about my diet.
It's courtesy of Chris Van Vliet. So, yeah, man, you see those guys and they work. They usually what happens is that guys are eating a ton and they're waking up in the middle of the night to get to, you know, 10,000 calories to keep their weight. And then they just kind of stop eating when they're done playing. So I was happy to see this for Bautista that he's at a weight where he feels comfortable. And even at 240, he is a menacing looking man.
Meteorologists aren't quite sure what's going on, but the 2024 hurricane season is upside down. There have been more named storms in the Pacific than in the Atlantic. And it's been eerily calm in the Atlantic during what's supposed to be the busiest time of the season. Nobody seems to know what's happening.
Hurricane, and but you can call it slurricane.
Colorado State University meteorologist Phil Klotzbach told USA Today, he said, I wasn't expecting this. It's quiet out there. So we haven't had a named storm since Ernesto dissipated on August 20th, and they have forecasted no additional storm formations.
It's so weird.
The next 7 days.
As soon as you brought this up, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I haven't heard
right?
Stories about that.
And a meteorologist said the Atlantic tropics are broken. He said ocean temperatures at this latitude are way too cool to sustain a rain shower. And he said that while some large-scale meteorological patterns are favoring storm formation, others are acting to prevent storms from forming. And it does not match with what experts called for. They thought it was going to be a hyperactive season with as many as 33 storms. And they say it's too early to bail on the season because obviously they still trust some of their modeling. But it's what scares me is usually they're so good at predicting this. And when they're this, like, how badly messed up are things when they're this wrong? And we've been paying much closer attention because it was always something about which we've been wary, sending Jason to Tulane. And there's a whole hurricane evacuation plan in there that you have to file, and you have to tell them where you're going to go and where you're going to be. And I've been really thinking about it. Every kid needs a hurricane go bag, a dry bag. And I've been thinking a lot about it. And I've been hyperactive season. And Beth and I'm talking like, oh my God, it's going to be a hyperactive hurricane season. Now what? Well, you can't do anything about it. And I'm like, well, okay. Not complaining, but who knows?
is High Noon. We do it every day around this time. I guess I didn't realize that we didn't have Florio on yesterday.
We did not.
Because we had a super short show, so it would make sense. But he's going to be on the show next. We're going to talk all things NFL, what he's thinking about the Bears. They got their initial roster together, and still some holdouts out there that have an impact on everything. We'll discuss with Mike Florio next here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.